purpose. All right, let's grab our Bibles and let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We have been talking about this whole idea of adventures in faith, living a life of greatness. That you and I, as followers of Jesus, want to live a life of greatness. It doesn't mean fame and fortune. It simply means that when we see God one day, He's going to say to us, "Well done, my good and what? Faithful servant." We just want to be faithful. I want to do everything that God wants me to do, nothing less and nothing more, living a life of greatness. And so in chapter 6, we've been talking about how do we live this life of greatness. Well, one of the attributes that we're studying in chapter 6 is this life of perseverance. That we need to be people that have some grit to us, that have some foundation. We need to be the kind of individual that no matter what happens in life, I'm not going to give up on my faith and on my God. I know that we're all going to have high times in life and low times in life, but perseverance is the attribute that I am going to make it through. And we're going to make it through. No matter what you're going through, you're going to make it to the other side. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're going to make it. Hang in there." Now, you may not make it in this life, but you'll make it in the next life, right? That's what Paul said in Philippians. "I don't know what's going to happen, God, but I don't know if I'm going to stay or I'm going to go, but you're going to take care of all this stuff, even if it means me going to see you when it's all finally done." See, perseverance is just not getting through a difficult time. Perseverance, according to the Bible, is getting through difficult times while praising my God. Because He is worthy. See, we're going to get through difficult times not because we're going to find justice all the time. God is not going to step into our world and solve all of our problems. If we believe that perseverance is just getting through this problem, then we don't understand perseverance according to God's word. Perseverance means I'm going to stay faithful to my God because He is worthy of my life. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of my thanksgiving, no matter what's happening in the circumstances of my life. That's the kind of grittiness that we need, that kind of persistence. We find it in people in the Bible. We find it in the book of Habakkuk. Look at these words from Habakkuk. "Though the fig tree should not blossom, my fig tree, my fig orchard is dying." Back in that world, that's a difficult thing. We have your orchards die if you're an agricultural society. "And there's no fruit on the vines. Though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food. Though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls." In an agricultural society, this is a bad year. "Yet," he says, "I will" what? "Exalt in the Lord. I will" what? "Rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and He makes me walk on my high places." This is perseverance. Not just getting through something, but getting through something at the same time, being able to not lose my love and loyalty to God. That's what we see in Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 6, we looked at the first couple of verses last week, and we saw that there's a conspiracy taking place against Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, we're going to look at verse 1 again. It just simply reminds us of the setting. It tells us that Darius was the new king in the area. Daniel is serving Darius, and he's going to set up his new kingdom. He's overthrown the Babylonian kingdom. The Medo-Persian kingdom is now taking form, and he is organizing it, and he takes his country, and he divides it into 120 regions, and he puts what's called in verse 1 a satrap or a governor over the 120 regions. And then he's placed three commissioners, or what we would call presidents, over the 120 satraps. And it tells us in the first couple of verses that Daniel is one of the three. And then it tells us in verse 3 that Daniel began to distinguish himself, and the king was going to make him number one. And the other two presidents don't like this idea. We looked at this last week. And so a conspiracy is invented to try and tear Daniel down. And so the first place that they look is his job. How is he doing in his work? Can we accuse him before the king about his work ethic? And in verses 4 and 5 tell us that they couldn't find anything that Daniel was doing wrong at work. He was doing everything he should have been doing, and he was staying out of everything he should have stayed out of. It tells us that there's no corruption. He doesn't have his fingers in the till, and there's no negligence. He's not neglecting anything that he's responsible for. So they couldn't find accusations against Daniel. So at the end of verse 5, it tells us that the only place they could attack Daniel was in the law of his God. What they decided to do to trip Daniel up and to get him kicked out of this club was they tried to focus on his faith. And they said, you know, there's something about Daniel that we see in him. And it says there at the end of verse 5, we need to find fault against him with regard to the law of his God. Let me tell you what they saw in Daniel. They saw Daniel consistently living out his faith. So much so that they thought he has to be doing this out of a legalistic system. There's no way someone can be that devoted to God. We're going to find out in these verses that Daniel prayed to God regularly, that he continually exhibited his love for God. And they thought, you know what? Nobody really loves their God that much. He must be following God out of a sense of duty and law. Because in the ancient world, when you had a God that you followed, you didn't really follow that God because you loved the God. You followed that God because you believed that that God controlled your world. And in order to appease that God, I better do these duties. I better do these activities, because if I don't do these activities, then that God's going to get mad at me and he's going to make my crops disappear, or he's going to bring disease on my family. So they followed their God out of a sense of duty. So they assumed that because Daniel was so consistent in his faith, he must be doing it also out of duty. And so they decided they're going to pit Daniel's loyalties to the king against his loyalties to his God, and they're going to see if they can trip him up. But what we're going to find out from Daniel today is Daniel didn't follow God out of a sense of duty. Now, they considered Daniel kind of weird in the way that he followed his God. It's interesting in this particular story when they watch Daniel, and how can they trip him up in regard to his law? If you look there in verse 6, we looked at this last week. The commissioners got together. They came to the king, end of verse 6. King Darius lived forever. Verse 7, all the commissioners of the kingdom, they're telling this, and all the prefects, so on and so forth. We want you to establish a statute, verse 7, and enforce an injunction. Now watch this. This is a very important, that anyone who makes a what? A petition to any god or man besides you for 30 days will be cast into the lion's den. You'll notice that they didn't say, if anyone worships another god but you. They said, if anyone makes a petition to any god or man but you. Why? Because when they watched Daniel, they thought he was weird. Because in the ancient world, when you worshiped a god, you worshiped an idol of that god. And you bowed down to this shrine, or you bowed down to this idol, and that was the mediator between you and your God. But when Daniel worshiped his God, he didn't have an idol. All they saw was that Daniel went up to his room, he opened his windows, and he knelt down and he prayed. And they saw his lips moving, but there wasn't a shrine. There wasn't an idol. And so they said, well, he's not really worshiping, because worship needs an idol. So Daniel is really weird how he follows his God. Have you ever been called weird for how you follow your God? And so when they come to the king, they don't use the word worship, because they knew that Daniel didn't really worship, but he's petitioning, he's praying. And so they asked the king to make a law. You can't pray to anyone. You can't petition any gods or man except for you, O king, for 30 days. And we saw last week in verse 9 that Darius signed the agreement. Now that's where we pick up the story today. Verse 10, let's read down to verse 13. It says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had previously done. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. If you like to underline words, underline the word found. That's the word to spy on. They set it up so that it's not bad to worship other gods. So all these commissioners and these governors, they could worship their God as they wanted to, but Daniel could not pray to his God. And when they got Darius to sign the agreement, they went scurrying out of the throne room and they immediately went to Daniel's window to see if he would open it up. And they spied on him to see what he was going to do. They were pitting his loyalty to the king and his loyalty to his God against each other. And you know what? The same thing happens to us today. My loyalty to God and my loyalty to myself sometimes is pitted against each other. Sometimes I want to do what God does not want me to do. Ever been there? And my loyalty to myself and my loyalty to my God is challenged. Sometimes I want to do what my culture wants me to do and not what God wants me to do. And so it's pitted against each other. And so we're going to see what Daniel does, which is so interesting, and why he does it. Verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. And in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had done previously. There's four things that happen here I want to draw your attention to. Number one, Daniel knew that the king had signed it. Number two, he opens his windows toward Jerusalem. Number three, he gets down on his knees three times a day. And number four, he prays to God. Now, Daniel didn't violate Darius's decree just once in those 30 days. Not once a week, not even once a day. He violated Darius's command how many times a day? 3 times 30 days equals 90 times he broke the law. Now, we can go off on a whole tangent here about when is it okay to break the law. The examples that were given in the Bible, number one right here in Daniel, is that when people command that I stop talking to my God, I'm not going to obey. We see in the New Testament when the disciples were brought in before the religious leaders and they said, stop talking about this Jesus guy. And they said, I must obey who? God rather than man. So whenever comes a point that we are forbidden to pray or forbidden to worship, that's kind of a line in the sand. They can ask us to do a lot of other stuff. But here, Daniel said, I can't. And my question as I've been studying this over the last couple of weeks is, why didn't he just keep the windows closed? Why couldn't he just suspend his prayer time for 30 days? Does God require that Daniel opens his windows? Did God require that Daniel get down on his knees three times a day? The conspirators thought that his God did mandate that because they said, we've got to catch him in the laws of his God. They didn't understand this idea about following a God because you love that God. They didn't understand that. When they saw Daniel's faithfulness to his God, they thought it must be he's compelled to do this because of the laws of his God. I wonder as people watch my life and they see my devotion to my God, I wonder if they sense I'm doing it because I love him or I'm doing it out of duty. This idea of perseverance, I wonder if my neighbors see me loving my God when things are good in my life, but when things are not so good in my life, I don't seem to love my God as much. How do people perceive me loving my God when things are going south. That's perseverance. Daniel knew that Darius had signed the decree, and yet he prayed publicly. So I began to investigate. Well, did God require Daniel to open his windows? Did God require Daniel to do it 3 times a day? And the answer is no. I couldn't find any laws in the Bible about why Daniel prayed in the way that he did. So I began to ask the question, well, why did he then? I don't know about you, but it seems perfectly simple. If I want to stay out of trouble and still be faithful to God, just keep the windows closed. Or just pray 1 time a day in the dark of night. If God doesn't require me to pray 3 times a day, if God doesn't require me, then why would he do it? Why didn't he just alter his prayer times so that he wouldn't be caught? And then I started learning about the depths of Daniel's faith. That he didn't have a superficial faith. And I think I discovered why Daniel continued to pray 3 times a day with the windows open. Let's take a little journey together. Let's go backwards in our Bible, first of all, to the book of Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. So it's like the 5th book in your Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. This is what is called the great Shema of the Jewish people, the great declaration. If you could sum up everything that the Old Testament teaches, here it is in 2 verses. Number 1, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord is" what? 1. Verse 5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your" what? "Heart." With all your" what? "And with all your might." One of Daniel's heroes was Moses. Daniel viewed himself not as an island unto himself, but as a continuation of the plan and the purposes of God. And Daniel looked into his past faith ancestry and loved Moses. And Moses made it clear. Listen, when you follow God, don't make it out of duty. Make it out of what? Love. Devotion. I believe Daniel continued to pray because he loved God. And God deserved his honor and his glory. When you and I go through dark times, the thermometer of our love for God is going to be tested. That's why James says that the testing, that trials are the testing of your what? Faith. The loyalty. Am I going to give up and give in, or am I going to stay loyal to my God? Daniel loved God. If I don't have a depth of love and devotion to the person of God, I'm going to give up in times of trouble. I'm going to go silent. Daniel loved God, and he saw in Moses, one of his faith heroes, this idea of everything that you do, don't do it out of duty. Do it out of love. He loved talking to the God he loved. So when he was forbidden to talk to the one he loved, he just couldn't do it. Let's go to the right a little bit. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Why did Daniel have to pray or choose to pray 3 times a day? Psalm 55. I believe another hero of Daniel's in the faith was David. And Psalm 55 is a psalm from King David when he was going through one of the hardest experiences of his life. Psalm 55 is the story of betrayal and treachery that David, as king of Israel, was facing strong opposition from within his own ranks. and people were being treacherous against him. And it's a cry out to God about how he feels in the midst of this terrible situation. And Daniel, get this, Daniel was in captivity in Babylon for 60 years, and he felt much of the same way that David felt, that God, I'm your follower, but God, there's all this opposition all around me. There was opposition in the Babylonian Empire. There's opposition in the Medo-Persian Empire. God, there's this treachery that's coming against me because I'm your follower. And I think David's words resonated with Daniel. Chapter 55, Psalm, verse 17. Or let's go back to verse 16. In the midst of this treachery, David writes, as for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will what? Save me. Can you imagine being Daniel in Babylon and reading the ancient scriptures and saying, wow, David was going through this, and he called upon his God to save him. I'm going to do the same thing. Now look at verse 17. Evening and morning, and what? At noon, I will complain to my God. Don't you love that? God, this is terrible. I believe that some of Daniel's prayer time was complaining to God about the difficulty of his situation. It's okay for us to be honest with God about our difficulties. There's nothing unspiritual about saying, God, I don't have enough money. I'm tired of being broke. God, I'm tired of the opposition at school. I'm tired of my kids going wayward. I'm tired of that husband. I'm tired. God, help. But notice when David prays. When does he pray? Evening, morning, and at what? I think that's where Daniel got it. It wasn't a law required by God, but Daniel had to practice. We're learning in chapter 6 of Daniel that he did it morning, noon, and evening. And I think he got that pattern from one of his faith heroes, David. And now let's go back a couple of books to the left again. Why in the world did he have his windows open, and why were they facing Jerusalem? 1 Kings chapter 8. Another hero of Daniel's faith was David's son Solomon. Now, David's son Solomon, his big contribution to the Israelite world was he built the what? He built the temple. David wanted to build this magnificent temple for God. God's worship was being done in a tent, and David wanted to make it a building. But God said, no, I want a man of peace to build my temple, not a man of war. So you collect all the materials to build it, and you lay out all the architectural plans, but I want your son to build it. And so when Solomon became king during a time of peace, God gave Solomon the task of building the actual building. And chapter 8 of 1 Kings is Solomon's prayer at the end of the completion of the temple. And Solomon has this big, long prayer of dedication. And what is so fascinating about this prayer is that in verses 42 to verse 48, I believe it is, or 49, Solomon prays something like this. God, if the people of Israel disobey and walk away from you, and they get taken into captivity, and they're off the land, and it's impossible for them to come to the temple to worship you, then help them worship you in this way. And here, let's look at the words. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 48. It says, verse 48, if they return to you, if they've been in exile, they've sinned against you, they've acted wickedly, but they want to turn their hearts back to you. Look at verse 48. If they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who have taken them captive, and they pray to you, watch this, they pray to you toward their what? Land. In other words, when they are taken off the land and when they're captives, when they turn their heart back to you, they can't go to Jerusalem, to the temple, but at least when they pray to you, have them face the land. And then it goes on. Face the land which you have given their fathers. Face the what? The city which you have chosen. What's the chosen city? Jerusalem. And the what? House which I have built in your name. So Solomon, very interesting, during his prayer of dedication says, you know what, God, if the people of Israel ever get taken off the land and they turn their hearts back to you, but they're still in captivity, when they pray to you, have them face Israel. Have them actually face toward Jerusalem. And have them actually face toward the temple that I just built for you. And so here we are, fast forward to Daniel's time. He gets taken into captivity. He's been serving in Babylon. One of the heroes of his faith is Solomon. And Solomon said, when you pray, face Israel, face Jerusalem, and try and pinpoint where the temple is. So when Daniel goes up onto his roof chamber to pray, he opens the window so that there's nothing between him and his God, and he's facing Jerusalem. Where did he learn that? He learned that from Solomon. Because why? Because Daniel sees himself as part of a long string of people following God. And he's learned how to get through troubling times, how to persevere through difficult times through the people that have come before him. Moses went through terrible times, but he just decided, I'm going to follow God out of my love for him, not out of duty. That's how we get through perseverance. He learned from David that, you know what? When I'm going through the stuff, I need to pray more, not less. That's a great example for us. When you're going through difficult times, you should be praying more. But our heart, at least in my life, my heart wants me to withdraw from those things instead of pursue those things. And then finally, he learns from Solomon, hey, turn your face in the direction of where the presence of God is, giving you the hope that one day God's going to restore all things. Daniel looked at his life as a continuation of the faith of God. Hebrews tells us, and this is such a great verse that ties this all together. Hebrews chapter 12 says, and this is writing to us today, therefore we, us today in Auburn, California, since we have so great a cloud of what? Witnesses surrounding us. Who are the witnesses that are surrounding us? It's the Moses. It's the David. It's the Solomon, it's the Daniel, it's the Peter, it's the James, it's the John. All of these witnesses are part of the legacy of our faith. And when we go through difficult times, we've got to remember we're not going through this alone. That's why it's so important that I keep my nose in the book and I just read the stories of the Bible, because I'm going to find a hero of the faith that is going through something like I'm going through, and how did they get through it? Aha, now I can learn how I can get through it. That's what Daniel was doing. So hey, since you have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance the race that is set before us. How am I going to get through tough times? I'm not going to get through tough times just to get to good times. I want to walk through difficult times being loyal to my God, because he is worthy of my praise. As Habakkuk said, he's worthy of my exaltation, whether I'm going through good times or bad times. How do I learn that? I got to remember, I'm just one person in this line of millions upon millions upon millions of followers of God. And the word that stands out in these two verses to me is the word endurance. Run with endurance. The word endurance implies it's hard. I don't need endurance to run from here to the back of the room. But if I'm going to run from here to the Galleria, I need endurance and a taxi cab or an Uber driver. The word endurance implies, ladies and gentlemen, will be from the today until we get to heaven, the race is hard. There's going to be some relief, but the race is difficult. It's difficult to keep my loyalties to Jesus Christ in the midst of pullings from my flesh, pullings from my culture, pulling from the devil. And Daniel said, doggone it, my love for him is so deep. I'm going to do it like my forefather Moses did it. I'm going to do it like my forefather David did it. I'm going to follow the instructions of my forefather Solomon. And I'm going to go up to my room. I'm going to open my windows toward Jerusalem. And I'm going to get down on my knees. And I'm going to petition my God, even if the king says no. And I'm going to trust God for what happens next. That's perseverance. Perseverance is not just getting through a trial. Perseverance is how I walk through that trial. And if I don't have a bigger picture, and if I don't have a love for my God, I'm going to have a difficult time walking through a difficulty at the same time as loving and being loyal to my God. Daniel opened the windows, not because he was trying to shove his faith down the throat of others. Daniel didn't kneel three times a day because he, doggone it, was going to show the king. Daniel did it because he loved his God. And he was going through the most difficult of circumstances as an 80-year-old captive in a new regime. And he pulled on the faith of Moses and David and the instructions of Solomon to get him through. And he could praise God while going through it. Doesn't that want to be us? I want to be like that. I want to be like that. So the conspiracy is initiated. And that's all we have time for today. Let's stand together and pray. Our Lord Jesus, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our exaltation. But Lord, it's hard to emotionally and spiritually praise you when we're going through times of difficulty. So Lord, help us to deepen our faith, to dig the well of our spiritual trust deeper into the ground. Help us to read the stories of Moses and David and Solomon and Daniel, so that we know that we are not the first to go through these kinds of things. That spiritual men and women have endured, not just endured to get through, but endured with joy, endured with praise on their lips because they love you, because they want to serve you, because you are worthy. Lord, justice may not come in this place. Relief from all of our difficulties will never happen on this planet. So, Lord, we have to trust you. We have to love you. May we learn how to do this as we talk about perseverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together about our hope.